Compulsive hoarding, which is also called pathological collecting, involves acquiring and saving objects that probably have no value. It's not uncommon for people with the condition to completely fill their homes with clutter that leaves little room for living space. An estimated 2 million Americans are afflicted, and it's been the subject of two popular television shows, Hoarders and Clean House. It can have a serious impact on family members as well, and Jessie Scholl writes about that in her book, Dirty Secret, A Daughter Comes Clean About Her Mother's Compulsive Hoarding. It's published by Gallery Books, and I'm very pleased that it brings Jessie Scholl to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You write that your mother had never been particularly concerned about keeping a clean house, but was she collecting stuff even when you were young?
Yeah. Even when I was young, she was going to thrift shops a lot and coming back with, say, you know, six pairs of salt and pepper shakers. And
how did she explain that, six pairs when you only need one pair?
She liked it. A lot of it was that she couldn't decide which one she liked best, so she just took them all.
It's scary to realize that your mother was a nurse until recently.
Yeah.
But you say she was totally disorganized. Did that apply to her work life as well?
It did toward the end of, right before she retired, because she had a hard time getting the things done that she needed to do within her shift. One interesting thing about hoarding is that actually quite a few hoarders are nurses. It's just a kind of a random fact about hoarding.
Your mother, on occasion, would actually forego picking you up from school, even when you were in the kindergarten, so she could continue her thrift store shopping. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly thrift stores in Minneapolis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of them there?
Actually, yeah, there are.
Can you pinpoint the moment when your mother's collecting became pathological hoarding?
Yeah, it was set off. A lot of times hoarding is set off by a trauma. And in her case, it was her longtime boyfriend. She was with him for about 10 years, and he was ill the whole time they were together. He had diabetes. She took care of him. And once he died, that was when I really saw a difference.
So this was not a cause for your parents' divorce?
Oh, no.
But was your father upset about the fact that the house was always a mess?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was a problem, but since it wasn't really hindering the ability to use the kitchen or the bathroom, things like that, it wasn't.
Yeah, your father remarried, but as you say, yes. Your mother didn't. She had this long-term boyfriend. Did you like him?
Yeah, he was. I actually only met him a few times, but he was a very nice guy, and he really understood all of my mother's quirks and completely accepted her, and I liked that about him.
Which family did you live with?
My dad and my stepmom.
So when you went to see your mother, you were kind of entering into another world, weren't you?
Yeah, that's exactly
it. And something you had to explain to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't bring friends over, could you?
No, I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell anyone about my mother's hoarding except my husband.
In fact, you write that to be the child of a compulsive hoarder is to live in a permanent state of unease, because you worry that you too might become one of them?
I don't worry that I will become a hoarder, even though it definitely has a genetic component. But for me, I ended up going the opposite route, where I'm sort of a purger. I throw everything away. And that happens a lot with children of hoarders. You go one way or the other.
When your mother called you to tell you about her upcoming cancer surgery, how long had it been since you'd been in her house?
Huh. At that point, I would say it had probably been a year.
So you knew what it was like?
Oh, yes. I had already cleaned it before. I'd gone through a few times of, you know, trying to clean it for her, but it would just never stay clean.
Well, when you say clean it, does that mean purging it?
Yeah. That means, you know, getting a truck and loading it full of stuff and bringing it to the Salvation Army.
Well, you found things like broken appliances, moldy cowboy boots, 20 identical pairs of graying bargain bin sneakers, arts and crafts that she had abandoned, newspapers, magazines, a dresser drawer crammed with discarded eyeglasses, lots of junk mail. Why wouldn't she even throw away the junk mail?
A lot of it just has to do with indecision and perfectionism. So it's sort of like she couldn't decide what to throw away, what to keep, and then she was so afraid of making the wrong decision of throwing away something that then she would need later that she just made no decision at all.
Well, you made a wrong decision, but understandable. You ran out of the house because you thought you saw a massive snake?
Yes. Yeah, on the porch.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
It was just a pile of rags that had just, they were sort of oily and black and twisted together.
Can you estimate how much your mother spends on her compulsion a year?
Huh. I really can't. I mean, definitely it's in the thousands. When I was cleaning her house this last time, I found a lot of bags from her favorite store, which is called Savers, and some of them were unopened with the receipt still stapled to the top.
Ironic that it's called Savers.
Yes, exactly.
Is this a form of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder?
It is officially right now. It's listed that way in the DSM, but there's a movement among specialists and experts to get it listed as its own discrete syndrome, because I think it's only maybe 30% of people with OCD have hoarding tendencies. So you can be a hoarder without OCD.
Yeah, but there are spectrums in so many of these conditions.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at two people with autism, you'll find two different, very different kinds of people, but they're both autistic.
Right.
And OCD can manifest itself in everything from being afraid to breathe because there are germs in the air.
Right.
To being afraid to step on a certain stair because the world's going to explode if you step on it.
Right. But I think the reason for the movement to get hoarding classified on its own is because so many hoarders are not, they don't have OCD.
Did your mother ever seek professional treatment?
She has sought treatment for depression and anxiety, but not for the hoarding. She, you know, I've tried many times and sent her the names of specialists, but she thinks she'd rather do it on her own.
My guest is Jesse Scholl, whose essays and stories have appeared in national newspapers and journals. She's also co-editor of the nonfiction anthology Traveler's Tales, Prague and the Czech Republic. Her book, Dirty Secret, A Daughter Comes Clean About Her Mother's Compulsive Hoarding, is published by Gallery Books. She wanted to sign her house over to you so it could not be taken from her to pay for medical bills. What was your reaction?
My reaction was horror, because that house has caused me so much grief that just the thought of having, you know, any kind of legal responsibility for it was just a nightmare.
If you clean it out, is it in good shape?
The bones of the house are really nice. You know, it's got beautiful woodwork. It's got a nice layout. But I'm not sure. I think, you know, for the decades of hoarding, I think that they've done some damage to it, yeah.
So when you clean it out, are there certain things your mother says, not that?
It depends. The first few times I cleaned, it was always a real struggle. Any item she had to look at and decide, and it took forever.
A broken appliance, you say?
Yeah, because she thought, oh, I'll fix it someday, or if I can find the right person to fix it, you know, someday it might be usable or might be worth money. But then this last time that I cleaned, because she was sick, she really just said, go for it, empty it out.
Is it rare for a hoarder to be a woman? Most of the hoarders I've read about in the past have been men, like the Collier brothers.
Right. I think it's pretty much 50-50.
They often have close relatives they describe as pack rats. Is there a line here, the difference between a pack rat and a hoarder?
Well, I think pack rat is just sort of a nice way of saying hoarder. I mean, as you said, there is a spectrum. So there are some people who are, you know, extreme collectors. But if it isn't really impinging on their life, I think it's okay.
I said 2 million Americans. Now, that's not an extraordinary amount of people, but that's still a lot.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of different figures. I've heard 2 million, but I've also heard 6 million.
Because this is the sort of thing that many people keep secret.
Yes.
It's like trying to figure out how many alcoholics there
right.
are in America.
Mm-hmm.
You live in New York now. Mm-hmm. Were you able to find a support group for children and families of hoarders?
Yeah. There's an online group called Children of Hoarders, and it helped me so much. In fact, I never would have written this book without that group. It was just an amazing experience to find it.
And what kind of advice do they give you? Other than not to blame yourself.
Yeah. You know, everyone's situation is so different. So, you know, there are some people who say it's not a good idea to force a clean out then, you know, on a hoarder. Then there are other people who say, no, that's the only way it can be done. It's just every situation is so different.
Well, at the beginning of the book, you write that treating this disorder is not easy. There are certain challenges, like hoarders often don't recognize that they even have a problem.
Yeah, it's true.
When professionals are brought in to deal with hoarding at the request of family members, landlords, or the legal system, that can cause a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when a landlord or sees that there's somebody who's just filled a place with a lot of junk?
Right. Well, oftentimes that will lead to an eviction, you know, and then the hoarder's homeless.
Mm-hmm. Is this a dangerous thing? Because if you keep on piling up junk, can it fall on you?
It can fall on you. It can cause fires. You can have severe mold problems, rodent problems. So it really is a danger.
Was your mother aware of the fact that other people would react strangely to the situation? Could she invite people over?
No, she doesn't invite people over. That's the thing about hoarding is a lot of times, you know, the hoarder will deny that there's a problem, but you know that they must understand it at some level because they won't have people into their homes.
Mm. You say your mother was very supportive of you in writing about this. She's willing to come out of the closet, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah. Before I wrote it, before I even, you know, started writing it, I asked her if she would mind. And she said no. She said that's a wonderful idea because maybe it can help people. Maybe it can help hoarders. Maybe it can help children of hoarders. So, and she's read it, and she likes it a lot.
A listener wonders whether hoarding is the result of living in smaller living spaces, although your mother was in a house.
Yeah,
the Collier brothers had a huge space.
Exactly. So I don't think it is.
It just means that you can accumulate more before you have to take care of some of it, throw some of it out.
Yeah.
Could she have ever have thrown any of it out herself?
No, I don't think so. Mm-mm.
Well, when you were going through these things and she was saying, okay, I want to save this. No, this can go.
Mm-hmm.
She was making those decisions then, wasn't she?
She was making the decisions, but only because I was forcing her to. I mean, I was putting it in front of her face and saying, you can have this or you can have this. You can't have both.
Would you take over the house now?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, she's still there.
She's still there.
And she paid for her medical bills.
Yes.
She's okay?
She's okay, yeah.
But what's going to happen to this house after she can't stay there anymore?
Well, at some point, I know I will be legally responsible. I will have to deal with it at some point because I'm her daughter. So, but that's hopefully far, far off into the future.
And now that you've cleaned it out, is she just accumulating more junk?
I'm sure she is. I haven't been inside since the events of the book, so about 3.5 years.
Really? Oh, so, but you know that she has not gotten past this problem.
Yes. Well, she tells me she hasn't. And I was in Minneapolis over the holidays, and I saw the outside of the house, and I could tell that it's packed.
So what happens when it gets to the point where it's so packed that she can't move around?
Huh. Well, I suppose at some point, I really don't know. I mean, I guess at some point maybe I'll have to go in. But if you read the book, you'll understand why I'm very hesitant to go back inside.
But I'm just thinking about like cooking a meal for yourself.
Oh yeah. Well, she does cook.
She doesn't stick all the stuff in the kitchen, obviously.
Yeah, I think that she.
Could she sleep? She have enough space to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She has enough space to sleep, and she can, and you know, she has heat and she has water, so it's a lot better than some hoarded homes where they have no plumbing, you know, and then when that fails, they can't call a plumber in to get it fixed because of the state of the house. So, you know, some children of hoarders have grown up without water, without heat.
You have been going around with this book. Do you find that a lot of people commiserate and say, well, gee, I I had the exact same kind of experience.
Yeah, I do. I mean, today is the first day. Today's the pub date, so it's out now for the first time. But just in the past, you know, few months since I've been talking about it, I've had a lot of people tell me that their mother was a hoarder or their cousin or their neighbor. You know, a lot of people understand it, and that's been really nice.
Just one more thing, all these moldy things. What's the smell like?
My mom's house doesn't smell. That's one really nice thing, but I think a lot of homes do.
Because you have rotting newspapers.
Exactly.
And as you said, graying bargain bin sneakers, mm-hmm. arts and crafts
yeah.
projects.
Yeah.
Those are all things that start rotting because they have organic material in them.
Right. Or food. You know, if somebody has a problem with hoarding food, that can get really ugly.
You're going to be reading and signing books, so you'll be finding out tonight what people think mm-hmm. at the Barnes & Noble store in Tribeca at 7 p.m.
That's on
February the 2nd.
Right, February 2nd.
Meanwhile, I suspect you'll be going around even to Minneapolis.
I'm not doing any events in Minneapolis. I'm doing a couple in San Francisco and one in Los Angeles.
Jesse Scholl's book is called Dirty Secret. A Daughter Comes Clean About Her Mother's Compulsive Hoarding. It is published by Gallery Books. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.